moment you've all been waiting for.
You what?
Well, that hit the spot.
Hey guys, and welcome to this week's episode of the podcast. It's myself, Ali Ryan, and today I'm speaking to the lovely Rob Kenny. And we're having a really good chat about everything from Christina Aguilera, because obviously you can't talk to Rob without Christina Aguilera.
Christina.
And also how he got into Pure, a big announcement that he has that he's revealing for the first time, which is really exciting. And then just everything that's happened over the last 12 months. It's been a turbulent year for influencers in general, but Rob's having a chat about that and love, life, relationships, social media. This episode's a good one. So let's jump straight into it. Rob Kenny, hi, welcome to the Gosscast.
Hello, hello, hello.
I feel like you need to start it off by screaming like Christina Aguilera.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you have the earphones, you have the microphone. This is like perfect.
My dream.
I actually watched Burlesque for the like proper first time the other night.
I'm obsessed that this interview is kicking off with Christina Aguilera.
Obviously, we're talking to you, Rob, obviously. And I didn't realize the lead character's name is Ali Rose, which is like my Instagram name.
Oh my gosh,
never clicked with me.
Never. That together.
I know.
That was iconic.
I was like, what? And I was like, oh, I do feel she's my spirit animal. I know. How did that happen? Like, I haven't even really seen Burlesque.
I died. Every time I watch that movie, I watched it a lot. I'm just going to think of you.
She looks amazing, doesn't she?
Amazing.
Like,
so skinny.
I was so shocked. And then I started Googling it all afterwards, and she was like, that was like the worst diet of my life. I nearly died. I was like, all right, okay.
I know her weight is up and down. But you know that one scene where she's in the floor length green dress?
Stop.
She's
ridiculous.
Such a baby.
And in the little pearl lingerie set. Like, she's basically naked on stage.
And her voice in that movie, she really, really went half a ladder.
It like restored my love for her. And I thought of you when I was watching it. I was like, I get it, Rob.
And she's bloody coming to Dublin.
Are you going to the concert?
Oh, I sold my soul to MCD.
Did you? It's so funny, guys. I don't know if you know, but when Christina Aguilera was spotted here a few months ago, Rob was on holiday for like the first time in so long.
Worst.
He was out of the country. And we're all in this WhatsApp group. We were like, Rob! Like, oh my God, Christina Aguilera.
It was one
of
the worst things that's ever happened.
In your whole life.
Like, for anyone who doesn't know, I'm obsessed with Christina Aguilera. You know the way most gays have their diva?
Yours is ex-Tina.
Mine is ex-Tina. But it's a whole new level. Like, most gays just like their diva. I'm beyond obsessed. Like, 15 years later.
Still.
I got into the car at my mum the other day and Fighter came on immediately and I was like, I am Fighter. And she was like, I've been doing this with you for 15 years.
Yeah.
But I was at a friend's wedding in Cannes.
Yes, yeah. You nearly got a flight home. Like.
I was looking at them. But then I was like, I'll miss her.
Oh God.
And another thing happened.
Yeah, we knew that she was going to be in Zico that night though too. And we'd all been like told.
So she put up that selfie on Jury Street and it was just so
You need
random.
To Photoshop yourself into that, by the way, somehow. Yeah, you really should.
But
just
like,
you sitting there.
You know, everyone just thinks she's obviously in Hollywood like being ex-Tina. And the next thing, this
on
random
Jury
photo of her on Jury Street. And
there's
like,
people in the background like smoking a fag, not realizing Christina's there.
It's iconic.
Yeah, it's the weirdest
they
photo.
They just think she's some
They're
tourist.
Just like, who's that girl?
Yeah.
It's a Christina Aguilera.
So she was booked for some crazy private gig in the Three Arena.
Yeah. Jesus, yeah.
And I've used those PR website things where you can look how much she is to book. She's a million.
Oh my God.
Before any expenses.
Before flights and everything.
And team and all
that. Right, I'll take her off for the gossip show. Definitely not.
But yeah, I'm in Cannes and I get this text off the manager of Zico being like, hey Rob, I almost fell off my son's chair.
It was like, you're like, stop the wedding.
No, stop the wedding. Yeah, literally stop the wedding. Get me on a flight. The manager of Zico, hey Rob, Xtina's doing a private gig in the Three Arena tonight and she's booked the private area here in Zico for her and her team. We're going to put about 5 or 6 people in to like get a bit of ambience. Would you like to be one of them?
R.I.P. me. You're like dead.
R.I.P.
Yeah.
Actually, R.I.P.
Oh my God.
Private little party in a room with Xtina.
Like, do you want to come?
And I'm in bloody France.
I felt so bad for you.
Yeah.
Because we put up all the videos of her in Zico and she full on like was chatting to people, dancing with people. She danced to Dirty, do you remember?
And on the main dance floor, full of everyone. She's
everyone.
There. Rowdy.
Yeah, she's like,
I think a lot of people didn't piece it together.
That it was Christina Aguilera.
Yeah.
I think you would recognize her because you like follow her still.
Yeah.
But if I hadn't kind of been following her around that time, I probably wouldn't recognize her
she looks
off the bat.
So different.
She does look different.
Yeah.
She definitely like changes her image quite a lot. Like,
she
so
does.
I wouldn't always recognize
her. But that's probably why she could stand there in Drury Street and just
take
no
one
a
even
selfie.
Notices. What is she up to now? Because you are our official Christina Aguilera correspondent.
So she's just, I am. Let's make this a regular thing.
Let's make
thing.
This a thing, yeah, once
the
a week.
The Xtina update. She's launched her Vegas residency.
Sorry, yes.
Yeah.
You're obviously going.
Well, so I had plans to go, right?
Okay.
My friend Craig lives in LA, and we were going to make this whole big trip out of it, and clearly I was going to go.
Yeah.
And that's a whole other interesting story. Craig's fiance, James Hyland,
I don't know that name, yeah.
He set up Bubble Hits back
in
the day.
Oh my God, what?
Screaming.
Oh my God, I used to love Bubble
Hits.
Yeah,
Bubble Hits, and Glenda was the presenter,
yeah.
Remember?
Yeah, oh my God.
But James now owns this insanely successful marketing and PR and digital agency in LA.
Oh my God.
It's mental.
That's crazy.
And they're Irish, loads of Irish staff. Like, they do the marketing and PR for Xtina, Gaga.
Oh my God.
I'm pretty sure Ariana Grande's in there.
What?
It's a joke.
Oh my God.
So Craig
was
like, yeah, we can go backstage, meet her. So obviously I was dying.
Yeah.
So the Las Vegas residency was announced. I was all, you know, ready to go to go see it in Vegas. Then the next thing, out of nowhere, Xtina puts up on Instagram, hey, coming to Europe.
Oh right, yeah, for her tour. Okay, so you're gonna do that instead.
I'm doing that. So big plans for that night.
When is her residency starting?
It starts in, I think it's either June or July.
I'm like, what's her date of birth? What's her star sign? What's her blood type? Do you know?
I fully do.
So I might be going to Vegas this summer, so I might try and see that. That'd be so cool. Yeah.
And I mean,
in fairness, she is one of the last actual proper performers.
Isn't she?
As in, like, she is still doing it. Like, poor Britney. Like, I love Britney. Yeah. I saw her in Vegas. She was fab. But, like, Christina is, like, J-Lo level still. Like, she can still dance. She can still sing.
And, like, the voice is just phenomenal. She performed with Demi Lovato at the Billboard Music Awards.
That looked amazing.
And Demi has an incredible voice, don't get me wrong.
So
but she sounded like this kind of pretty pop singer.
Yeah.
Singing with Xtina, who's like,
yeah, I know.
Like, there's just so much power and volume.
She's very Ariana Grande. I feel like Ariana's like the new Christina.
Yeah, Ariana has the voice.
Do you like Ariana?
I love Ariana. Yeah, okay. Love, love, love. I still don't think she has the volume and the power of Xtina, but like incredible range.
Yeah.
Yeah. But wait, let me tell you what I have planned for Xtina in Dublin.
Oh God, okay, go on.
So, myself, Paddy Smith, James Kavanagh and Holly Carpenter we've made a WhatsApp group. It's called Xtina Drag.
Oh God. Right.
So we have our tickets organised. Apparently they're deadly, so I can like...
actually see
smell her sweat.
Yeah, grand, yeah. Perfect, yeah.
And we're renting a hotel room. We have our eyes on the Marlin that's opening in Stephen's Green.
Oh, yeah, that's meant to be amazing. Yeah.
It's supposed to be fab. Hasn't opened yet. But we're renting a hotel room and we're either going to book like incredible Irish drag queens, Davina Divine, Pixie Woo, you know, one or two of them to make us drag fabulous.
Oh my God.
Drag Valera.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Drag
Valera. And we're all going as different Xtinas.
Oh my God.
So I'm being Lady Marmalade.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Shut up.
So I'm the red corset, the massive blonde.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God.
The boots, the whip.
Dead. Oh my God.
James is either, I think James is being Fighter.
Okay, yeah,
which
love
is
it.
Quite random.
Yeah, random, but still it works.
So he has, oh my gosh, he has the billowing black cape from the Gossies.
Gossies, yes, oh my God. I actually met him last night and someone asked him, are you ever going to wear that cape again from the Gossies? And
well,
he was like, yeah. And I was like, yeah, right. Now I'm like, oh my God.
He actually is. So in the Xtina Fighter video, she's in this billowing black cape with these big like needles in her back.
Yeah.
So James is potentially going as Fighter.
Oh my God.
Or Dirty. So him and Paddy Smith are kind of squabbling over Dirty.
Yeah, I feel like Paddy would do a really good job with Dirty. Don't you think?
He's going to get into a pair of chaps.
Oh my God. Wow.
And then Holly is going as Candyman.
Okay, very
so
cute.
So she's making
I love
it
that.
Hot still. Like,
and she's in the new genre or the new kind of era of Christina as well, because that's a little bit...
It's a bit later. Yeah. And like, Holly is going OTT with the makeup, the hair and everything, God, but I think so she still wants
like,
to be
kind
of
hot. Like, when is she performing?
It's November.
You're like, it's January 2022. Like, you're planning it so far.
Oh, it's fully in November, and like, I know what I'm so wearing.
Like, my 30th is in November. I haven't even started planning that.
I know where we're having a drink beforehand. Oh, James is insisting we rent a pink Hummer limo to arrive.
God, yeah, please do. Yeah. They're not that actually expensive to get a Hummer.
Yeah, it's fine.
I'm dying for this. What date is it? I think it's around my birthday, actually.
November 10th?
Yeah, November 9th is my birthday.
Okay.
Okay. Interesting.
Can't bloody
wait. I used to love her, actually, back in the day when I was in secondary school. I used to like write the school plays and like choreograph the dances and stuff. And I did an entire play, and like three of the songs were Christina Aguilera. One of them, like, it was like two different groups of girls that owned different nightclubs. It's such a stupid storyline. But in one of them, there's like a fight, and we dance and sing to Can't Hold Us Down. Like literally against each other.
That is iconic.
No, it's there's video footage of this too. And then I was like 15. How inappropriate. At the end, we all did the Moulin Rouge dance and like full on taken off.
They did that in my school.
My teacher's like, oh my God. Because yeah. like, I obviously didn't run through what I was doing in the play. And then at the end, we were like, woo.
Proper like, oh my God. Bouncing the like, legs
stripping
open,
like chair dances like everything
like so as a young teenage gay, that was just, that changed my life. That's how I kind of came out, actually.
Christina Aguilera,
Patti Smith and I were doing Lady Marmalade on my bed.
Oh my God.
So Patti Smith and I are best friends since I'm 8.
And love Patti.
I guess I was 12, 13. And I had learned the Lady Marmalade dance off by heart from, you know, remember you'd record it on your tape.
Oh my God.
But knew the dance off by heart. Like,
or wait like, for it to come on MTV or something.
And then
like,
record really quick. Yeah. So we were doing it like move for move. And my mum just said so casually in the kitchen afterwards, it's very unusual for two boys to be doing
the Lady Marmalade dance like alone in the bedroom.
And I turned around real like blasé, oh, but I'm gay.
Oh my God, at 12.
I think I was 13 at this point. Wow. No, maybe I was 12.
That's amazing to have known that early on and to be confident enough to say that.
And so blasé, like throwing it in. I'm gay, mum.
Yeah, like, obs, mum.
Like,
sake.
That's why I'm doing Lady Marmalade.
And what did she say?
Kind of stood there staring at me. Now, my parents had known for like at least a year at that point.
Really? Okay.
Which is another story. My primary school teacher had pulled them in.
What?
Yeah.
Isn't that like massively inappropriate?
Well, no, she did it in a really caring way.
Okay,
that's a whole other story.
We'll get into it. Yeah, we have time.
My mum was prepared at that point. Kind of because of my primary school teacher. Shout out to Miss McDonald. She was fab. So I was all set, booked, ready to go to Belvedere.
No way.
When I was in sixth class.
Oh my God, how different life would have been.
How different life would have been. So, like Belvedere is such, like I think it is the macho.
Rugby. Yeah.
Like.
It's like the kind of fraternities in America, all in a school in Ireland.
But it's intensified in Belgium. Yeah. Like my main group of girlfriends would have hung around with all these different schools when I was a teenager. You know, Michael's, Blackrock, blah, 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 blah. And you kind of get to know each school has a different vibe.
Yeah,
Blackrock is quite macho and manly as well. But Belvedere is honestly a whole new level.
Really?
It really is. And
I feel like a TV series could be made out of like...
Totally.
Yeah.
So interesting.
There. Yeah.
But one of my ex-boyfriends went to Belvedere and it was really hard as a gay guy. Really hard. So yeah, my whole life would have been so different.
So different.
But yeah, my primary school teacher, Miss McDonald, knew I was ready and set to go for Belvedere.
Okay.
And in her heart of hearts knew
she
I
was
gay.
Like, this is not going to work. Yeah.
Yeah. So she pulled my parents in and basically said, like, which is really ballsy of her.
Very ballsy.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Like,
she didn't know how they were going to react.
I know.
Yeah.
But she did it out of love.
Yeah.
And she basically said, I think your son is gay. And you should try and send him to a mixed school.
Yeah.
And she highly recommended Sutton Park, where I went. And yeah, my parents like basically were like, thank you. They obviously suspected it. Like I was going around in mum's heels since I'm 5. It was hardly a massive blow.
Yeah. It's different when someone says it though, point blank.
It is.
Yeah.
And see, the whole thing my parents still to this day say is...
Don't forget you're Americana, by the way.
Oh my God, cheers. Go cold over here. Like they always suspected it, of course. I hated rugby. Like my dad tried to make me play rugby my whole life. I just hated anything really boyish.
Yeah.
Like, to be honest. Like anything stereotypically boyish.
Yeah.
And they just always didn't want to label me as gay, of course, because I was too young.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's complicated,
it's
isn't
too,
it?
You're just too young.
Yeah.
But then when Miss McDonald said it, they're like, right, like axing the Belvedere thing.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So then when you said it that day, that night, when you were dancing to Lady Marmalade, were they, was she just like, okay.
Kind of shocked. And I think I like walked back out with Patti being like, woo, mama.
Oh my God. She's like, wow, the tension has been broken.
Yeah. And then I got a big sit down with my dad and everything.
Oh my
like,
God.
Kind of, do you know what you've said is a big deal.
It sounds like it went really well though for a
coming
out story.
And even when I came out, they were still like, they were amazing. I'm so lucky. My whole coming out experience, I'm so lucky. Like even Patti Smith, who I came out with at the same time, was in an all boys school, and he was like thrown in a dumpster. Like,
what?
They threw stones at him.
Oh my God.
Oh
what
my
the
God.
Hell?
Yeah. So different to my experience in a small
and to be fair as well, I do think nowadays it's quite different too.
Oh,
I think
so
people
different.
Are like gay when they're like 8, like it's like more acceptable to like go straight yeah. into it now.
No, it's hardly perfect obviously now
yes,
either
yeah.
but even like I'm essentially the last generation, so mm-hmm. like I'm 27 now, you know, with
I'm like 22, wink wink.
Yeah, I'm 22.
Oh my God. Yeah,
so
no.
like it's over 10 years since I've been in school. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely way better now. But yeah. I was, I have to say, really lucky.
Yeah, wow. It's so amazing that she stepped in and said that
Isn't
to your parents.
It? And I wrote her a letter, I think, when I was like 17, 18.
Did you? Oh my God.
Like, thank you.
Have you ever seen her since?
Never.
I hope she's listening. That yeah. would be amazing.
Maybe I'll send it to her.
Oh my God. So let's go back in time a little bit. Mm. Obviously, I remember you've done the Goss course with us before.
Oh, yeah.
I know. I'm thinking of bringing it back. Before, if you're listening, you've never heard of it. We used to do a course where we just taught people how to write online news articles, very focused on entertainment. But we did a whole section on PR as well, which people found really helpful. And you came in for that.
Yeah.
And I remember when you were lecturing at it, you were talking about how you got into PR. And it was like such an interesting story because I don't feel like people do things the same way anymore.
Mm.
So yeah, just kind of fill us in on how you got started
God,
in the world.
The Goss course. Yeah. God, yeah. So how did I... So I was in DIT and... So I didn't know what I wanted to do, of course.
Yeah.
Who bloody does?
Yeah.
Like, and it's such a flaw in the whole system that you're supposed to know at like 17. Anyway, I didn't know what I wanted to do. My CAO advisor told me to do marketing.
Okay.
Because it was broad.
Yeah.
And it like everyone and everything has
Came
marketing
yeah.
basically.
Yeah.
And I could specialize later on if I figured out what I wanted to do. I didn't get the points first round. It was 410 and okay. I got 400 on
no.
the button. So I was like, you're joking.
Oh my God.
So I got event management in DIT was my second choice. And then I got it second rounds.
Oh my God, amazing.
So did marketing, and when I was in DIT, I got really, really, really involved in the DIT fashion show.
Okay, yeah, it's huge.
It's
now,
huge,
isn't it? Yeah.
And I don't know if it's big now as it was. Anyway, that's
well. That's, in the last few years, I mean, like it's a known staple thing. Like everyone
it
knows,
is.
Yeah.
And when we were in college, around then, it was massive.
Really?
It was the biggest one. It was definitely the biggest one, like way bigger than Trinity or UCD or anything.
Yeah.
And I got massively involved. So year one, I was like a junior stylist. Year two, I was head stylist, and then year three, I was director of the whole thing.
Oh my God.
And Brian Conway was director with
no
me.
No way, was he?
Yeah. He's
oh
now
gosh.
Like this fab stylist, like Vogue.
Love
and all.
Brian. Yeah. Oh my God.
And Megan McDermott was director with me as well, who is also this fab fashion career in London. Anyway, and I got really into it and learned so much. Like, that was my first taste into PR.
Yeah.
We'd issue our own press releases. We'd write them.
Oh, my God.
And, like, I didn't even know what PR was.
Yeah.
But, like, essentially, you're the voice to the media.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, it's loads of things, but one of the big things it is you're the voice to the media to help...
Yeah,
you know,
spread the word
or whatever it is you're talking about. And they brought in PR mentors from the industry to help us.
Amazing. Yeah.
So it was my first real taste to PR and I loved it.
And that's funny that the first real taste was fashion.
Yeah,
well.
It was fashion related.
Yeah.
And then Brendan Courtney, it was massively involved with the DIT fashion show at the time. And we still have this joke that he's like my like industry dad kind
Aww.
Of thing. Like he took me under his wing at the time. He still does. We have these random lunches and dinners now.
I love Brendan.
I'm like, give me advice.
You're like, tell me what to do.
Tell me what to do. And he always does. He always does. And it's always the best advice ever.
Aww.
But yeah, he set me up a fashion PR internship in London.
Yeah.
Like a medium-sized agency, which was nice.
Yeah.
It wasn't too big, too overwhelming, but still loads going on. Our clients were like Longchamp, The Couples, Links
oh
of London.
Gosh. And what were you actually doing? Because one of the reasons I want to bring this up is I feel like... the whole idea of doing an internship is kind of dying now. Like, there's so many people coming out of school being like, where is my 50 grand salary? And you're like,
I'm on the fence on that whole argument because I got so much out of my internships.
Yeah. So everyone,
yeah.
to get into this industry, I'm sorry, like, you cannot be successful in this industry without doing at least one internship.
I kind of agree. And it's awful.
Yeah.
I know. I understand that it's awful to people listening who are like, sorry, hon, I've done a
but
master's.
If everyone, but master's, I'm like, you need the experience.
Like, now that I'm so much further on in my career than I was then,
yeah,
you're just not at a, full junior A position straight out of college.
No, definitely
to
not.
To be dealing with clients, to be executing campaigns. You're just not. You need to learn in between.
Because it's not just even putting things into practice, but like some people, it's not for them. Like the stress that you're under, if you want to be in the media or in fashion, you have to literally be ready to give up your life. And I don't think people understand that. They think because they see influencers out there now and they like, I want to be an influencer. So they just want to like be on YouTube or they just want to have Instagram. But like, no, like you have to create that life. You have to work and then get to the point where you can be that successful.
And even like exactly the pressure you mentioned. I think if you came straight out of college and you didn't have real hands-on experience that you get from an internship and you suddenly had all the pressures.
You'd probably have a heart attack.
You'd have a heart attack.
Was it that internship?
When you're an intern, you're like, oh, well, I'm only the intern.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and there's not, they won't give you every, they're not going to give you actual accounts and everything. Was it that internship that you literally said, because I never forget it from the GOS course, where you were saying that your fingers were actually bleeding?
That was like, internship two.
So what was that one?
That was a direct internship at London Fashion Week.
Oh, yes.
That I got through that first internship.
Okay. So there was everything leads to.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
If you do it right.
Yeah. It's, like, you can be so smart about it.
You just have to give it 110.
Yeah.
You have to stand out. Mm-hmm. Like, honestly, when interns don't get hired, they're kind of moping around saying the way it all works is awful. Like,
no, if you were working,
you give
really
it 110%. Yeah. Like, every agency I've ever worked for.
Yeah.
And I'm an agency whore at this point, has said they, if an intern shines, every single agency I've ever worked for has said this. If an intern shines and they're brilliant, even if a junior full-time position isn't available, they will make
they'll
one.
They'll make one,
because they know it's hard to find those people.
Yeah.
Every single MD I've ever had has said that.
I
if an intern is fantastic, they will make
they'll
that position.
They'll find a way to get them into the company.
Yeah, they will. Because they're just going to a competitor otherwise.
Anyway. Yeah.
So you really just have to knuckle down and give it 110%. And I did in that London Fashion Week internship.
Yeah, explain that story because I just love it.
Yeah. So 13,000 people applied for it because the glamour of London Fashion Week, I guess, and the size of the UK, et cetera, et cetera. And I got it in the end, which was a bit crazy, cray cray. And I got it. I found out I got it about 3 or 4 months into my final year.
It's like Lauren Conrad and Teen Vogue. You're like, oh my God.
I wish. But yeah, I was in final year when I knew I'd already gotten it. So I kind of had this like, well, I don't really need to study.
You're like, I have an internship. It's fine. Yeah.
But I did. So I flew over as soon as I finished my marketing bachelor's in DIT.
Yeah.
Flew over. The agency was called the Communication Store.
Oh, yeah.
And
they're still going.
They're still huge.
Huge,
huge, huge. And they essentially do like I don't know, 80% of the PR for London Fashion Week. I mean, I was specifically dedicated to London Fashion Week. It was my role was massively seating, charts, fro, all of that.
So exciting.
Invites.
Yeah.
Invites are such a fascinating thing to kind of watch because obviously you have this tiered list for every show.
Yeah. A's, the B's, the C's and the D's.
Exactly. So like you learn all this when you arrive. But then you have 900 million requests coming in.
Oh my God.
Bloggers, influencers, journalists, media, photographers, whatever.
And this was before bloggers were as big as they are now. So I can only imagine what it's like now.
Yeah. Well, I don't even know if influencers were a thing yet. No, bloggers were,
bloggers
but I don't
were,
think
yeah.
there were like Instagram stars.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
No, there wasn't. So you kind of have your tiered list of who you want there. Then you have your 900 million requests.
Yeah.
So honestly, for like weeks and weeks and weeks, they had these insane interactive screens where they were dragging very high tech technology for the time.
Yeah,
actually.
I'm thinking it's like Minority Report.
Yeah. They were dragging seats, moving names.
Okay.
And it just went, and like, where will Donatella sit? Type
You're
of
like,
thing
oh, yeah.
at dinners and like, cause we were organizing like the Tom Ford after party, which is the big one.
Oh my God.
Oh, it was an amazing experience. But then the kind of 2 weeks before Fashion Week itself, it was proper stay until 3 a.m.
Yeah. Yeah.
Back at 8.
Yeah.
Like at some point they would book us hotel rooms.
But imagine saying that to someone now. Like I think 90% of generation, whatever the next generation, I think they'd be like, absolutely not.
I know.
And you'd be like, okay, goodbye then.
But like, it was so exciting as well.
Yeah. I feel like if you love it, you will do those things.
Yeah.
You will stay until 3 a.m. You will...
Like Anna Wintour was in twice. So I was in two meetings at Anna Wintour. And then
you
I...
in her... You breathe.
In a small meeting room. Like, I'm dead. And then,
I can't imagine you standing there. I can imagine you being
oh,
like...
Oh, I said nothing. I was an intern.
But inside, were you screaming?
Screaming. Just staring at her. But trying to be cool. Like, not...
No. I can imagine you're just like, oh, Anna, is this
right? They took your phones off you and everything before. Stop. Yeah, screaming. And then she actually viewed the proper Devil Wears Prada style. I wasn't supposed to go to this as an intern, but something happened.
Right.
And Anna genuinely does
view the
entire collection before the show at Fashion Week.
And so, if she like turns her head a certain way, it's like cancelled.
I died. Yeah. Like the whole Devil Wears Prada thing is real.
Oh my God.
So I had to go to the Erdem Anna Wintour preview.
Oh God.
Because something happened to someone who was supposed to go.
They didn't want to say till 3 a.m. probably.
So I was the like PR there rep for Erdem, which is absolutely mental. Yeah. I didn't have a clue.
Just out of college
doing.
As well. Yeah. Wow.
No, I didn't really have to do anything, thank God. Yeah. But imagine Erdem had some like crisis and looked like, at me. And I'm like,
You're like, I've dealt with this before, I swear.
Sorry, I'm in the wrong room.
No hablo inglés.
No hablo inglés. No, I probably would have.
You probably would have.
Jumped out the window. Yeah. I just stood there in amazement. And it was all very true to the movie in terms of her barely saying anything, nodding.
So scary. Yeah,
hilarious. Hilarious.
But it sounds like that internship like was such a good thing for you. Like
it was. And I got hired then by the communications store and I did about 8 months as a junior.
Yeah, over there in London.
Yeah. But in blunt honesty, the glamour of saying Victoria Beckham was in last week and I've met Anna Wintour and we're dressing Pixie Lott and, you know, one of our, I don't know, Versace gowns is on the cover of Elle.
Yeah.
Like this is kind of all the stuff that fashion PR are doing in the background.
Yeah, all the time.
Like
yeah.
What models are wearing in magazines, what bloody David Beckham's wearing to a launch event. Like all this stuff is kind of PR, as you know, probably. Yeah. Fashion PR anyway. And the glamour and all that side of it is so alluring at the start.
Of course,
it's obviously why I wanted to go into it.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, a lot of the time you're just in an office.
Yeah.
Like
doing lots and lots of work,
hunched over the laptop. You know, you have your sparkly moments of glamour.
Of
you do.
Yeah.
Like you have your big sparkly moments and they're fab.
Yeah.
And so enjoyable and you're buzzing.
Yeah.
But yeah, like including the internship a year later, the glamour had worn off a bit.
And I think this is exact same as media and no one gets it. Like so many people come in to interview for Goss and like I know they're like thinking of the red carpets and meeting this person and like I go to Cannes Film Festival, do the Oscars every year. I do New York Fashion Week every year and honest to God, I hate it. I'm honest to God, I don't enjoy it. Like it looks amazing on Instagram. It is really good content and it is amazing sometimes because like we get to sit at the shows now and stuff. So like, it's amazing we built up to that point.
Yeah.
Which is fab, but it is such hard work. I don't hate it, but it is very, very stressful.
It is.
I'd say out of every week of the year, the Gossies are stressful. New York Fashion Week is like a little bit more stressful for me.
Yeah.
It's just like there's 12 shows. They're all 40
Even
minutes away
to
in
make
a taxi.
One. Exactly.
I missed like two shows and I get so pissed off when I'm late or miss things.
Yeah.
You get like personal invites for shows and I missed some. Like it's so stressful.
Yeah.
Then you go backstage and the design, like I'm always backstage before the shows and the designers are actually there. They're literally having meltdowns. Models are having meltdowns. People are screaming at each other and you're like, can I just get that on camera there? And you're like, why am I here? It's just, it does look amazing and it sounds amazing. But unless you're passionate and you're obsessed and you're really, really good at what you do, it could be like a very horrible life.
Everyone who works in any fashion week dreads it.
Yeah, like it's horrible.
It's like no sleep. It's
at the end when
stressful.
You see, I'm
the
sure from your
insane.
Perspective, like when you see the press coverage afterwards or you see a dress that worked, like I totally get it's amazing. And when we see the return from like the videos, like we were the only Irish press that went to New York Fashion Week this season. Like we're the only one.
Wow.
Yeah. So like we had amazing access. We were at a show with Paris Hilton. We were backstage with her. Like there was some really amazing moments, but those moments are 10%. Like 90% is the difficulty of getting there and having to do all the hard work and having to edit the videos. Like
and it's proper
so
like
much.
That level of stress where you're almost crying.
No,
or
like
you
literally you're nearly dead.
Yeah.
I remember the first year of the Gossies, I like decided to do it like 3 weeks before. Like I was nuts. It was like December. I was like, I'm going to do an awards show called the Gossies in January. We weren't even a year old. And everyone was like, absolutely not. Like PRs that you know, I won't even name them. They were literally like, do not do this. This is a terrible idea. I was like, no, I'm going to do it. And I wanted to be on TV. And people were like, what? And then in the end, like it was on UTV Ireland. It got more views than the IFTAs.
Oh my God.
Like everyone came. The first year was actually one of our biggest years.
Who was the host that year again?
Vogue Williams.
Oh yeah.
Vogue hosted it for 2 years in a row.
And she was gas.
Yeah. And like it was filmed. It was amazing. We were really happy with it. But on the lead up to that, I remember being so stressed, right? But like externally, you wouldn't have known I was stressed. But I remember lying in bed one night being like, I am so stressed. Like, how is this not showing? And I woke up the next day with this crazy rash, like a stress rash. And it took 6 weeks to go. And it would like inflame in the heat. Like on the night of the Gossies, someone had to get foundation. Like Mac, my makeup artist, had to put foundation all over my body. Like my legs, my arms. I was like covered. So I've never, ever been as stressed as that since. And I think because I went through it. So glad I did it.
Yeah.
But because I've done that now, this is what I'm trying to say about like internships or even just working in media or PR. It is really hard, but you need those experiences. So now if someone literally got shot dead in front of me, I'd be like, right, let's handle this. So now I feel like I can do anything, which I feel like you are the same. If there was a disaster in work or something happened at an event, I know you would know what to do.
The difference now, and even just how I don't freak out now like I did then is iconic.
Yeah.
In terms of...
That's just experience.
It takes so much for me to like die with stress now. And that is just experience. Like my first 4 years in PR. So I left London, obviously.
Yeah,
the glamour wore off and my salary was £18,000.
Oh my God.
And in London. Living in London.
Were you living on the street?
Like? I know. No, my parents like still had to pay my rent and all. Yeah. Which was obviously so nice of them. In order to... I couldn't have done it otherwise. Yeah. So I came back and joined PR in Ireland. And my first, 3-4 years, you know, you'd just be so scared of like things going wrong, like heart failure. Now you're just so much calmer.
So
but I think that happens to everyone when they
first start out. What would be ferment? Like, what's like the most stressful experience you've ever had? Has anything ever majorly like gone wrong?
Naomi Campbell and Newbert Silverware came to mind first there.
Oh my God, she was like an hour and a half late for that.
Yeah.
I was there in the Marion.
That was really stressful.
Yeah.
And I was the PR
at the front.
None
of the windows could open and it was roasting hot. I actually remember that day so well.
And lots of big editors started leaving.
Yeah.
Because Naomi had been in Bono's house.
Like late. Wow.
And we're there as the PR is being like, has anyone heard
like,
from
Naomi?
You're
like, tell Bono to hurry on, like get her out. Is that, I didn't even know that's what happened.
Yeah.
A lot of people were pissed off with that. But we probably should have expected it because it's Naomi Campbell.
Yeah. But you know what? The most stressful things actually, that's a real glamorous example I gave there. The most stressful things are actually like I remember once for one client we booked, the main kicker of the Irish rugby team.
You're asking the wrong girl here. Oh, Johnny Sexton.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
We booked. My laugh there was so evil. We booked him for, I won't even name the client, but...
A client.
Now, I was a junior at the time. This is, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago. And I booked, I booked the wrong day for the photographer.
No.
And the film crew. All that stuff. So Johnny Sexton arrives to the location, like the hired... promo staff and actors are there. We obviously had a whole thing planned.
Yeah.
And there was no videographer or cameraman.
Oh my God.
No, there wasn't even a photographer because I'd mixed up the day.
You're like, I'll film it on my phone.
Like, literally, I'll film it on my phone. We had to cancel the whole thing. And obviously, the contract we had with Johnny was like, you have him for
this amount of time, these
days.
Yeah.
And there's no going back from that. Johnny went. It's his time. Like,
oh my God.
So we just figured it out, obviously, in the end. But my heart failure. Of like, I'm going to be fired. I've ruined everything.
Yeah.
Panic. The panic. And I know that was bad. I like ruined a big part of the campaign. But like, even if that happened today, like,
I'd still be calm.
You'd be like calmly trying to work it out.
What I've learned from like business and everything is that like there's everything always works out eventually. Like there's literally no point in having these panics because what can you do? Like it's done. You made the mistake. You have to just.
It there. Everything works out.
Yeah, it does.
Like,
in the end.
Everything works out. No one died.
Yeah.
I have this incredible boss at the moment called Jimmy. He's the president of IAPI.
Yeah.
Which is the Irish Advertising Association of Ireland, basically.
Yeah.
And he works with me in Publicis and he is the most chilled, relaxed person. You know, if something awful is happening with a campaign, like things always happen, things come up.
Yeah.
And like Virgin Media, one of my clients at the moment, and something really big happened with one of our campaigns a few months ago.
Yeah.
And I was getting stressed, I won't lie.
Yeah.
And it was proper those kind of 12 PM, 1 AM still in the office trying to work it out.
Yeah.
But like this guy, Jimmy, is so calm. His voice, he always stays so calm. And I feel like I've tried to emulate him a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
And I always think of him now. And you know, when you have someone you think of.
Yeah, like what would they do?
What would they do?
Yeah,
and I use him a lot as my like, what would he do? Yeah.
Do you meditate at all?
my boyfriend has really, really, really tried to get me into it.
Yeah, I need to get back into it again. But everyone says that, like, most successful people that I know, you're like about 3 months into meditation, like, you will notice such a difference in how you react to things and how you make
decisions.
I'm
really going to make myself do it.
I know, I need to do it too.
Shane has downloaded me all the apps. Like, I've done it once. Okay. I sat on the bed, the 15-minute app.
And how did you find it?
I mean, I really did get lost in it.
Yeah.
Kind of 5 minutes in, and really did switch off and relax. Yeah. But then, as much as I enjoyed it, and I was like, great, I'm going to do this every day, that was about 3 months ago and I haven't done it since.
Because this is the thing I never really thought about, because what's been said to me is that it's not even just about the relaxation of the everyday. It actually changes how your brain works. And in stressful situations, you make decisions completely differently because you literally train your brain to, like, calm down. So I need to get more into it myself.
It's a time thing.
I know. But, like, you make time to go to the gym. I make time to watch Netflix. We're just not putting it as an important thing to do.
Like, I was doing my fake tan in the bathroom of FM104 yesterday after pre-recording my slot.
Yeah.
Because I was then booked for a photo call.
Oh my gosh, I was doing
my BB cream and my powder in the front of the taxi. Like, I feel like my life is always this running mess.
Running around. I feel like that too.
So I'm like,
you should try to do like first thing in the morning maybe, or last thing. It's good to do it at nighttime because it actually helps you fall asleep in bed if you're doing it.
Yeah. I'm always wrecked when I come in there.
I know. See, I'm the same as you. And you're out all the time.
I'm making excuses now. I think for me, the best option is the 15 minutes in the morning.
Yeah, in morning time.
It's getting up the 15 minutes earlier.
I'm trying not to look at my emails and my laptop in the mornings now and just... And everyone, there's I don't know, do you read books by entrepreneurs and business people? Like,
no,
there's such interesting
things
in it. Like, I'm obviously always trying to find things to calm me the fuck down.
Yeah.
But there's little things like making your bed in the morning, like sticking to a routine, but before you take up your phone, before you look at it. And it's changed my life. Like, I've sometimes left my phone out of my bedroom now because I'm waking up in the middle of the night and I'm reading emails. I'm checking things.
Oh my
it's giving
God.
Me anxiety.
Maybe I should do this. It's the first thing I do every morning.
So they say just have something, even if it's that you go and you make a cup of coffee, do something first before you look at your phone and calm yourself down.
That sounds amazing.
And then look at your phone.
Because one part of my life is obviously the whole influencer thing.
Yeah.
And the first thing I did this morning is check my insights on.
Yeah.
It's on collabs
so
I had to do yesterday because I'm worried they're not good enough.
I know.
And it's starting my day
you
like
kick
that.
Kick off
just
with anxiety. And then how
good.
Is the rest of your day going to go?
Yeah.
I'm really trying to do it. It is making a difference. And maybe it's a bit of ignorance because it's there's emails I don't want to see or there's things I don't want to. I'm like, oh. But if you have those 5 minutes in the morning where you just get to be yourself and have your moment, I do find that when it is time to look at that email or look at those insights or reply to that client that you're actually more calm.
I really want to get into this. And that's not just
No, you should. You should
I really
try it.
Do, yeah.
So you're talking about influencing. It's been a mad year for influencers, hasn't it?
Hasn't it?
The last 12
I feel
months,
the industry has really changed in the last year.
It's changed so much.
Yeah.
But you are one of the longest, I suppose, influencers at the moment, as in terms of how long you've been in the industry. As in
industry, yeah. But I joined a bit later in the whole.
Yeah, let's say Suzanne, starting 2010. But what I mean is a lot of things have happened in the last couple of years and people have changed. I remember when you even were starting out, you had your slot on Ireland AM. You've always kind of been present in the media.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
While you've been doing your influencing as well.
I was always weird in that regard. PR was always my bread and butter.
Yeah.
Well, I've actually expanded from PR now. I'm publicist. PR is only a tiny part of what publicist does. So I've broadened my marketing, I suppose.
Yeah.
But my first, three jobs were PR. But from the get-go, I always had such, a need to also be on the other side. PR is all behind media.
Yeah, and
so
then you're
much
in
of
the
what
front
people,
as well.
Yeah. Weird
you're
hybrid.
Both, yeah.
So PR, people don't realize how much of what media is revolving around PR, and you don't see them really from the consumer's point of view. But I always wanted to be on the other side. So I think my first ever media gig was being the fashion presenter of Spin
1038. Oh my God, no
that?
Way. Yeah, that was
I was really young.
That was years ago.
I think I was only 20.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Maybe 21. And even watching back those videos, it's me interviewing Glenda on Vogue. And I look so young.
Really?
And then, I just loved it. I get such a buzz off presenting.
Yeah, and on FM 104 as well. So you've kept it going the whole
time. I kind of always have had one.
Yeah.
I've never not had something.
Yeah.
like Ireland DMs.
There's always something in the background as well.
The Indo F104. I've always had something, yeah.
And then pretty much every single person I've had in here, like the one of the main topics we talk about is just negativity online. Mm. And I think, you know, me and you specifically
are used to it
and have been targeted on social media. And I just want to talk about the realities of it, I suppose. Like, obviously, people will remember that you were caught smoking when you were working on a campaign to quit smoking. And I feel like when all these things started on Instagram and Facebook, it was like people weren't allowing people to be human and make like human mistakes. Like, I don't know one person in the world who has given up smoking and hasn't had like a little stumble and smoked once.
Do you know what? I use this example. Now, I don't usually mention the actual smoking or anything, but I use this example a lot. Like, I present at conferences about social media, and because I'm a weirdo, I'm the hybrid where I'm booking and planning these campaigns for my clients, but also I'm being booked by other agencies, other brands. Yeah. So I'm kind of both sides of the coin, which makes an interesting presentation because I can talk from both perspectives.
Yeah.
But I use this example a lot because influencer marketing, like at the end of the day, the person is a human.
Yeah.
And big brands who are used to other forms of marketing, advertising, PR, digital, etc., you're dealing with companies, not humans.
Yeah.
And the room for human error is something brands really have to remember when working with influencer marketing.
And I feel like they still don't. They're not really realizing
Some
that
do.
Yet.
I mean, it really depends.
I see people getting dropped from things like campaigns and stuff for like the stupidest stuff though. Or like people staying away from influencers because they said something 7 years ago or something. You're like,
It just needs room to not be so rigid. Now, obviously the campaign you mentioned, that was different. But like I've hired, for example, Holly Carpenter for a campaign and her phone just broke.
Oh no.
Do you know what I mean? Like these things happen. Yeah, or like I've hired someone and their granny got really sick. And
they couldn't do the
it.
Dates and stuff.
Like or you know, loads of things happen.
So different when it's a person.
It's a person. And it's some girl in her room with her phone.
Yeah.
Like there's no MD, there's no
boardroom, there's no meetings.
Execs.
So different. So
it's all different. And yet they're reaching the same amount of people as an episode of Ireland AM, which has 100 people working on it.
Yeah.
So like, it's so bizarre.
Yeah,
the whole
it's so
thing.
Crazy when you think of it that way.
But that example you mentioned, and this is a whole other side of influencer marketing, which is changing.
Yeah.
Where the influencers don't share the negativity or the hard stuff and everything was just positive and glamorous and rosy.
Which is all bullshit.
I think everyone's getting better at being more honest and not, life isn't so perfect.
Yeah.
But I think when this happened, what you mentioned, I was still kind of portraying life as perfect.
Yeah.
I hadn't spoken about anything really negative at all, ever.
And you and your long-term boyfriend, Fabio, had just broken up and you hadn't even said that.
I think it was the week before.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we had been together for 5 years. He was genuinely...
Like, even if you didn't smoke, you'd have a fag when that happened.
Like, I'm so mad in love now with my boyfriend, Shane. But at the time, I was
devastated.
You can be in love with more than one person. I have definitely learned that in my life. Like, I've been in love with two people, Fabio and now Shane. And when Fabio and I broke up, I was still absolutely head over heels for him. Like, it's over a year and a half later now or whatever, and I will openly admit I was head over heels in love when we broke up. He couldn't live in Ireland anymore. He grew up in France as a child and then Portugal. His dad is Portuguese, his mom is French, and it was genuinely our weather. He'd been here for 7 years and he was like, I can't do it anymore.
So depressing. Like, having
he was depressed.
Sunshine.
He was like,
that's a real
depressed.
Thing SAD.
And we had been doing long distance for a year when he had gone back to the sun in Barcelona at this point. And I had flown over to him. I went 14 times that year to see him. He came up here about six.
Right,
so even the imbalance had really started. And he ended it on my final trip over.
So sad.
And it was all so sudden.
Yeah.
Like,
you weren't expecting it. Like,
One minute we're at dinner in love, and then the next minute it's the day of my flight home, and honestly it was a 5 minute conversation.
Oh my god!
Breakups are just so bizarre.
Oh yeah,
like we
after
were
all the time
together
you spend
for
with someone,
so long, each other's soulmates, glued
and then,
to each other.
In 5 minutes, it's
they're
all
your person.
Yeah,
and then a 5 minute conversation, and I haven't seen him since.
Oh my god, that's so crazy!
Are insane.
Yeah, that's so crazy.
And I had genuinely been off the cigarettes at that point.
Yeah.
And I wasn't even that big a smoker. Anyway, like I was more of a social smoker, in stressful situations, definitely
obviously,
turned
to
them. And that was, I was just heartbroken. I was a shell of a human.
And it must have been so hard to also then deal with all the backlash at the same time. Like, you're literally like grieving a breakup and then all over social media, all of a sudden you're being like, it's like...
It's the first...
Being stoned. You know, as in being thrown stones at, not stoned on drugs.
Oh, it was being stoned.
You were like,
and then
hi.
I just got stoned.
That's what I feel like social media mobs are like now. It's literally like, obviously, metaphorically, I'm not saying it's like being stoned, because someone's probably going to put out about this now. But you know, in the Bible, it's like, you know, who throws the first stone. As in, like, if you're going to give out about something or, you know, stone someone for what they've done, like, look at your own life. Have you done anything wrong? And that's what kills me about social media mobs. Like, you know, they'll give out that someone didn't declare something, or they didn't do something right, or they didn't like it, they did something. Like, what have you done in your life? Are you perfect? Have you done everything right? Like,
totally agree. And it's so easy for people to write a nasty comment. But like, that whole situation was so bizarre. I was so heartbroken. Like, I wasn't eating.
Yeah.
My mum was like so worried about me. My whole family were so worried about me.
And people forget, I think, that you have parents or siblings or cousins or friends that read all these comments. Like, I have two sisters and a mum and a dad that are on social media. Like, they have Instagram accounts.
Yeah.
If you're going to slag their daughter or their sister, they're going to see it.
And they went to town on me at the time.
Yeah, it was bad.
Because I don't really want to talk about the... They went for town on me when that post went up.
Yeah.
If you know, you know.
If you know, you know.
And... Like,
do you feel like it was justified, the post?
I mean, looking back, yes.
Yeah. But the comments
and
the negativity,
how nasty
no.
people get, no.
I know.
But
yeah.
Like, I obviously shouldn't have lied. Yeah. And that's... So my biggest mistake was I was booked to say something at a certain day.
Yeah.
And I basically was so heartbroken over Fabio. I didn't want to talk about breaking up with Fabio yet.
Yeah.
Like, I did the whole thing wrong, looking back. I really did.
Yeah.
I should never have lied.
There needs to be room for human error, like at the end of the day.
Like, massive learning for me. I genuinely will never take that route again.
Yeah.
Like, the lying is never an answer.
Yeah.
But I still feel sorry for old me that was in that really dark space.
And
just did not want to...
Yeah.
Talk
have
about
to go it. Into it, yeah.
And then,
you just want to pretend that everything was fine.
Like, to have admitted to being blah, 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 I would have had to talk about blah, blah, blah. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I was just like, nah.
Just leave it, yeah.
It was a very odd time.
Yeah.
But and now I found Shane, he's amazing.
And how is your relationship now with social media? Like, do you think it's changed things? Like, I feel everyone is like a little bit more careful, a little bit more... Yeah. I see definitely... It's mainly more positive now, but there's still negativity there.
Yeah, no,
see negativity, to be honest.
But even in the past, I'd say 6 months, I feel like influencer marketing and the influencer landscape and everything around social media surrounding influencers has become a tiny bit more sophisticated.
Yeah.
Like, it's a relatively new thing.
Yeah, no, definitely. It still is quite new.
And it's a big area of marketing now, which is just bizarre when you think of how sophisticated the other areas of marketing are, with all rules, regulations, agencies, you know, guidelines,
so
blah blah blah. The influencer marketing is just such a bizarre new spectrum
that's
growing and learning. And month by month, though, the industry is becoming more sophisticated. Influencers themselves are learning what they can and can't do and what's right and what's wrong. So it's really just, I think it's a growing learning.
I've always said, I feel like there needs to be proper managers in Ireland, because I know there's agents and agencies and maybe there is a few managers, but I would love to actually just do it myself, but there needs to be literally media training with influencers. Like, this is...
There will be,
because
I'd say,
they
definitely.
Don't, in fairness to them, how are they meant to know what way they're meant to do certain things? Like, obviously the ASAI have come in and said a lot of stuff about advertising, but the ASAI is such a strange organization. Like, they don't implement change, really. They just basically highlight that someone's had a complaint
or send the odd email.
So that's not really helpful. Like, I know brands that have tried to go to them to like discuss things and they don't have answers for them. So,
but even when influencers were getting in trouble over it, like, again, everything was so new.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't know if it was you had to do it or you should do it, or like,
yeah, there's actually no laws.
Like,
around.
It's becoming a lot more clear now, but there's still
so much
to go.
It's so confusing, isn't
there's
it?
There's still so much.
Because I saw in the UK, they were like really behind on all this. They've only just started doing hashtag like gifted. That's like the new thing that they have to say they've been given something. But I always have this argument. I'm like, we watch The Late Late Show, like one of the biggest shows every week, and there's so many product placement in that. And all that they do is at the very, very start, there's these two little P's on the bottom of your screen, and that's meant to inform you that for the entire episode there's things that are sponsored. Like Ryan doesn't cut across an interview with like Tom Cruise and go, sorry guys, this part's actually sponsored by.
Yeah.
So it's, I find it a bit much sometimes that influencers have to be so OTT with
or it. Like even now declaring if
Something's been sent to you. Well, that's not in Ireland yet though.
Or if some, even like, now I have two opinions on this, but even if someone's like slightly airbrushed.
Yeah.
And there's this whole big argument that that should be declared. Like clearly if you're reading a magazine, it's airbrushed. Yeah, so yeah. I'm a bit like.
Oh. Yeah, the whole photoshopping, I was actually like.
When they're
lynched.
Making themselves look like different people, I'm clearly yeah, on I get that's wrong.
But I was like lynched on social media there a few weeks ago because I very drunkenly did a bit of photoshopping at that ASOS dinner we went to.
Oh, gosh.
But like, I own up to that. I'm like, yeah, I was so, it was deserved to be put up online to be like the fucking hack of her. Like she obviously, and I'm not on in these groups that were sent to me.
And I was at that dinner with you.
I know, I was
locked. Well on our way.
But a few people said to me, oh, people are giving out that you photoshopped. And I was like, whoops. And like, I hate my arms. I just fucking hate them. So like sometimes if it's a bad angle, yeah, I fucking airbrushed my arm. Like,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
It's not hurting anyone. Yeah. I'm not killing anyone.
Oh, I totally smooth out like, pimples and like
sorry the Kardashians
if I look really tired. I don't think I've ever admitted to this. I do remove a cheeky bag under
so
my eye.
I have the darkest circles under my eyes. I actually can't really remove them whatever app I use. But yeah, like I think it's good for people to be open about it. But obviously if you're changing your entire body, like that's different.
No, I don't do that. But
and it's annoying because like I've lost so much weight over the last year and I'd say no one even believes it because everyone just thinks I Photoshop everything and I'm like, I actually don't. Like, I actually don't. But yeah, never drink and Photoshop. That's the
never
first thing I'd
Photoshop.
Say.
I'm going to get that printed.
Yeah. We're nearly at the end now.
I feel like we could do this for hours.
I know. So what do you think is, I suppose, the biggest lesson you've learned in the last 12 months? Because so much has gone on for you, like even work-wise, relationship-wise, social media-wise, so much has changed.
Oh, so much happens in 1 year.
Yeah, so crazy.
Like if anyone's feeling lost or, you know, uninspired, when I think back to a year ago, I was... Like it's not that much over a year ago, broken up with Fabio.
Yeah.
Really unmotivated career wise.
Yeah.
Felt like I was never gonna find love again.
Aww.
Like hated social media because of everything that was going on.
Wanted
at the time.
It to die, like
thinking of deleting my Instagram level of hating social media. And now a year later, like I'm just going solo now career wise.
So exciting.
So as incredible as publicists has been for the past 2.5 years, I'm very sad, but very excited to be leaving them at the end of this month. They're still going to be one of my freelance clients, which is bizarre to say, but I'll be doing consultancy work for them on and off. So I'm not leaving. It's kind of a nice
That's nice
in between.
Leave it like that,
Like I have Shane now. I'm doing really exciting projects like FM 104, and I have this other, I told you, presenting gig coming that I can't talk about yet.
It's very exciting.
And like, just so much happens in a year.
Yeah.
If you have the determination, as cliche as that is, you know, people don't come knocking on your door. You have to
go
knocking on
theirs.
Yeah. Another cliche, but again, it's so true.
So wouldn't it be mad if there was like a reality show about like the influencer circles in Dublin? I always think
it would be iconic.
So well. You would think it was scripted, the stuff that goes on.
I
like
it wouldn't be
scripted,
iconic.
But it would be so good. And if you think of all stuff that happened just to you alone in the last year.
Oh my god!
And the reunion episode
show.
On TV when everyone's sitting beside each other fighting and being like,
"Who would you love to
see
this?"
Oh, you obviously, James Kavanagh, Paddy could be in there as well. James, Patrice, and Clem.
All the guys.
Yeah, and then Deering. Who else? We need a few girls in
I
there.
I think the
Louise,
like, Cooney,
Louise, Aideen, Kate,
Neve group.
Neve,
yeah, they'd be
Cullen. But like even the stuff that goes on at events and stuff, although you probably couldn't air half
because we all see each other all the time.
Yeah,
so
and there
funny.
Is genuine drama, like in real life, just like a normal person would have like real life ones, but it's like in the backdrop of champagne and events. I'm just saying it would
I'm
do well.
I'm just saying if
Goss
someone,
exclusive
if someone
coming
wants
soon.
To film us.
Oh my god, I probably couldn't afford you guys if I wanted you to do a show with me. But yeah, that's the end of the podcast.
Oh,
thank
fun.
You so much for coming in.
Thank you so much
and,
for having me.
Best of luck. You've left Publicis now, or you're leaving Publicis now.
Leaving Publicis, going solo.
Going solo. So we're expecting big things and
thanks,
we're looking
Queen.
Forward to new announcements.
Thanks a million.